From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
The 2020 general election is less than 50 days away. How should Christians be thinking about the elections? And how can we engage with politics and government in a Christ-honoring way? We'll talk about these questions and more on this week's Capitol Connection. As always, we are broadcasting from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. And with the election just over a month away and mail-in ballots being mailed out to voters in just over a week, we're talking about the election today. Lots of important information to share and lots to talk about. But we don't just want to talk about it. We want to help equip you with information and resources to help you think critically about faith, government, and voting, and what we all can do this election to make a positive difference. And joining me today on the program to talk about this is one of my favorite people, Karen Bowling, our executive director at Nebraska Family Alliance. Karen, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Nate, I'm thrilled to be with you because you're one of my favorite people as the policy director at NFA. It's a joy to be here and at such a critical moment in the history of our nation.
This is a critical moment, and we know that our nation has a choice to go to different directions this election, and so much is at stake. And so we're investing a lot right now from Nebraska Family Alliance into new resources that we're making available to churches and citizens across the state, really to help people think critically about what a Christian worldview looks like when we're talking about issues relating to government and politics and voting. And so that's where I want to start our conversation today. Early voting is just around the corner already. It's sort of hard to believe. But in just over a week, people will start receiving their ballots in the mail. And so if you visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, right on the home page, we have a new 2020 election resource page. And that's where you'll be able to find a lot of this information that you can use. And one of those key resources is the voter guide that Nebraska Family Alliance has put together for the 2020 election. Karen, what can you tell us about Nebraska Family Alliance's voter guide?
Well, first of all, that voter guide is nonpartisan. It's also 501c3 friendly. So if you're a church, you can use it. And we have focused on candidates for both federal elections and state elections. It's simple. It's friendly to use. You can actually put in your address and your very ballot and who you're going to be voting comes up, and you'll see where candidates stand on issues about school choice, where they stand on gambling, where they stand on pro-life. It informs you. So when you go to the poll, you can go as an educated voter and vote your values.
So what I love about our voter guides is, as you mentioned, it's actually personalized to you. If you plug in your address, it'll tell you who exactly will be on your ballot, and then you can compare candidates side by side. And Karen, you mentioned that this is a nonpartisan voter guide. Is this also a resource that's available to churches to use? A lot of churches and pastors oftentimes are a little, you know, skittish or hesitant to wade into elections or things that are considered political, but is this something that is actually available for churches to use and distribute?
It is absolutely available for churches. In fact, we worked very diligent to make sure that it was 501c3 friendly. So nonprofits, churches, ministry leaders can use this. You can let your congregants know about this guide. I know pastors find themselves in such unique places. You know, they've got people in their very church that maybe land differently political. So we've kept it totally issue-based. And that's really important to be a nonprofit organization. So I encourage you to go to NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and check out on our homepage the 2020 elections, because it's made with churches in mind.
I love that. And it's so important. And so what we're saying is when you check out our voter guide, it's not going to say vote Republican or vote Democrat or vote for this candidate or that candidate. It's just going to show you where candidates stand on issues like life and religious freedom, school choice, family values, and then you get to decide and you get to cast your vote. And there's a lot of important dates coming up relating to our elections and early voting and registering to vote. And at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, on our 2020 election page, you can also find out information about registering to vote and where you can find your polling place to vote in person. And Karen, I know you have some of these dates available that we wanted to share with our listeners.
So you may be listening and you go, oh, I've moved. It's too late to register to vote. Great news for you today. Actually, you can register to vote online by October 16th or in person at your election county commissioner by October 22nd. You can also return mail-in ballots request by, you have up to October 23rd to do it. Nate, I know oftentimes we say, oh, this is the most important election in our lifetime. It really is the most important election in our lifetime. And we want people of faith to be fully engaged. And why is that? It's because we determine what type of leaders we choose. And do those leaders match our values? So if you've not registered to vote, please know, get out and vote. Register to vote. And request, if you're not able to go to your voting booth that day, you can request a return ballot, a mail-in ballot. All that information is available at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org.
You know, Karen, that's such an important point that you just touched on, people of faith stepping up to engage in government, which is something that we actually see throughout the Bible. God using his people to influence government. And we care about this because government and the laws that our elected leaders pass and don't pass affect the lives of real people. And we care about our neighbor. We're called to love others. And so we care about the policies that impact the lives of our families and our neighbors and all citizens. And at Nebraska Family Alliance, we sort of get a front row seat to the consequences of elections and the types of decisions that elected leaders make and the value systems that they bring down to our state capitol. And as is typical in any presidential election, but perhaps more so than ever this time around, really all the focus is on, you know, the presidential race. And obviously, it's so important and, you know, stark differences there. But we don't want people to forget that there are other races that have significant consequences for our state beyond just the presidential election. We have state senators who are up for office in our state legislature, people running for different county boards and county seats, and then for Congress as well. Can you tell us, you know, for example, this year we worked really hard on the dismemberment abortion ban. And that bill, all it was doing was saying that you can't end the life of a living unborn child by dismembering it. You can't do that while it's alive. But it was, I've never seen so much opposition to a pro-life bill. What kind of difference does it make when we're trying to advance pro-life and pro-family policies through our state legislature when we have state senators who are aligned with those values?
It is so important. It is critical. And you may be saying, oh, I'm just so tired with all the toxic conversations about the presidential election. I get it. I understand that. But down ballot determines what type of Nebraska we're going to live in and what type of community you're going to live in. So let's take LB 814. That should be so simple. Nate, we had to overcome three filibusters, and on the final read, we had just enough votes. We had 33 votes. If we would have lost one vote, that would have been dead. And we're talking about a bill that says, you know what? Abortion's still accessible, but we in our state are committed to not dismembering a live baby who's 12 to 24 weeks gestation, literally dismembering them limb by limb. So it matters who we elect, and that's why we focused on state and federal races. It is so important to determine not only the type of Nebraska we're going to live in, but what we want our nation to look like.
So important. And I think that's a great real-world example. I mean, literally one vote away from failing to pass this, you know, just very fundamental bill to protect human life. So we need people to be informed. And also in Nebraska, we're very unique in that we have not only a unicameral, but technically nonpartisan state legislature. So actually, when you vote for candidates for the state legislature, there's no R or D next to their name. So if you haven't done your homework, if you don't know where these candidates stand, you know, you don't always know what you're going to get, or if someone has been honest about their policy positions or how they're going to vote down in the legislature. So again, make sure that you check out the Nebraska Family Alliance Voter Guide and that you share it with your friends and family. And Karen, one of the other areas that is so central to the mission of Nebraska Family Alliance is prayer. And for us, we believe that prayer is an opportunity that we have to get to partner with God for His plans and purposes. And we also know that in Scripture, we are commanded to pray for all who are in authority. When you think about the upcoming election and everything that's happening in our country right now, what kind of role is there for prayer?
Well, I think the Scripture gives us so many examples in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, where He gave God's people an opportunity to partner with them to change the destiny of a nation. Now, we all agree God's still in charge, but you know what? He looks at His people. How does this matter to you? And when He goes in and says, you know, I looked for a man who would stand in the gap, right? So I wouldn't have to destroy. Well, how do we stand in the gap? It's through united prayer. I think about all the examples in the Old Testament from Hezekiah, where what they did, they responded when they were under siege, and it said, until I prayed. And guess what? God relented. You know, we are living in a time that probably we deserve, you know, we deserve judgment, but it's the prayers of God's people that I believe that we've had mercy. And I encourage people, if you've never prayed for an election, this is the time to do so. Ask that God would have favor on us as a people, that we want to be a Christian nation that honors God in all of our principles. Because why? It's for the good of our neighbor. That's the interesting thing, too, about biblical principles. Take the politics out of it. It is about the care and good for the neighbor. And, you know, in Timothy, it tells us to pray for those in authority. Why? So that we might live in peace and safety. But the second part of that is so that all men might come to the saving grace of Jesus. Who we elect determines how open we are to religious liberty. It truly does matter. And I believe that God responds to the prayers of His people. It's so important.
Well, that's why we're having you on the show today to talk about this, because that is a message that I think has been lost in large part in our culture. The political environment has become so toxic that it turns so many people away. And oftentimes, I think people of faith are kind of left in this position where, you know, they don't want to alienate people. They want to love everybody. And so we just kind of shy away and we remove ourselves from the political process. But we know what happens when God's people just remove themselves from the public square and the consequences that that has on a state and nation. But one thing that we all can do without excuse, without exception, is to pray. And so we have some prayer resources available specific to the elections. Karen, tell us a little bit about the prayer resources that we have out right now.
We have created downloadable one-pagers, three election prayer guides. One is a 7-day focus, And each day you focus and then you can pray about another concern. So from praying for voters to elect godly leaders, it has a biblical reference and invites you to pray. We also have a 21-day prayer guide. And you know, you still have time to participate in the 40-day prayer guide. Each day has a different focus in praying for the elections. And this year, Nate, we actually are going to launch as an organization our 21-day prayer focus on October 15th, but we are going to November 4th, the day after the election. If you're listening and you're wondering, does God hear those prayers? He absolutely does. And what a privilege to think that the God that created this universe gives Nate Gross, gives Karen Bulling, gives every listener on this call the opportunity to partner with him. Wow. Wow. May God hear our prayers. It truly is the most important election in our lifetime.
It is. You know, Karen, one of the things that you just mentioned is that our prayer guide, you know, we want to help mobilize prayer across our state and help unite people in prayer. And as you mentioned, with our prayer guides that we have for the election that are all based in Scripture with different focuses for each day, we're actually going one day beyond the election. Why is that?
Because if you listen to the media, the press, everybody is projecting, we're not going to know who our next president is on November 3rd. And so we want to bathe this process in prayer. And it's also to promote continued prayer. As I mentioned in Timothy, you know who was the leader of the land then when it was encouraged to pray for those in authority? Was Nero. Okay, Nate, you and I know Nero was not a good guy, right? So we pray for our leaders, whether we like who was elected or who was not elected. It's the prayers of God's people that I truly believe brings sustainability to a nation and helps righteous men and women step up and lead well.
Well, that's something that, you know, we need to be sharing that message, because this is something that we all can be doing as believers, as praying into the elections and praying for those who are in office right now. And again, whether we like them or not, that is what God has called us to do, and it's an essential opportunity for us to get to lead and to help shape our culture and society through the power of prayer. So again, make sure that you check out these prayer resources available at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And you know, Karen, a lot of our conversation today and some of these resources on voting and prayer that we've been talking about, it all kind of leads us back to, you know, what is a biblical worldview or biblical principles for political engagement? And that is something that people have struggled with and debated since the beginning of time. What does it mean? What does it look like for Christians to engage in government and politics? What does that look like? How do we think about it? And so that's a big question, and a lot of different, many different people have reached different conclusions. But we believe that a Christian worldview for political engagement at a minimum requires God's people to be willing to use their own influence, and voting and praying certainly goes into that, to influence politics and government for good, based on principles found in the Bible. And so to make that easy, we have helped produce a new fantastic resource on this issue of biblical principles for political engagement. What can you tell us about this?
This resource, I hope, will help everyone, because there are lots of question marks. So what issue is biblical? And there are some that I think we all agree on, and some we go, maybe that's second tier. But here's what it will help you understand. What is the biblical approach to how we engage in government? And we need to look differently than politicians, the political, because we see it from the perspective that God initiated government, and he really is into government. And so laws enforce and endorse a belief system. And I want to challenge all of us to know that matters why we elect who we do, because it will determine what our cities look like, what our state looks like, and our nation. So this will equip you with biblical principles and how to engage. And there's also a section particularly dedicated to pastors, because they're in a tough spot, you know, sometimes. And just preaching the Word of God, remaining true to the Word of God, you know, on the sanctity of life, on human sexuality, those don't vary. Those don't vary. Those are biblical principles. But it's also the tone in which we do it, to be winsome in our approach, because we can win policy debates, but if in doing that we lose our Christian witness, we've also lost. So it's all combined there. How do we approach policy issues, but also how do we do that from a Christian worldview and be a testimony for Christ?
Karen, how you are someone who has modeled what we're talking about, someone who both faithfully follows Christ and shares the gospel and is a witness, and also someone who engages with government and politics and policy for the good of our state and the good of our neighbors. What does this look like for you? Why have you chosen to dedicate your life and your career to helping Christians think about these issues and trying to help empower people to themselves be able to engage with government and politics in a Christ-honoring way?
I think it's real simple. Jesus compels me to love my neighbor. And in doing so, we don't remove political engagement. And having the honor to interface with elected leaders, I have learned how I approach that in being Christ honor is so important. And here's why. I may win the political debate with those that disagree with me. I think about all the judiciary hearings you and I sit at. But God always provides an opportunity, even with people who disagree with you, whether they're elected leader or just your neighbor. There's a moment in each of our lives where we need care. And I can think of so many times with elected leaders where I've been grateful that God has provided an opportunity and just the wisdom to know how to interface with them. But they've had a crisis in their life. And it's a beautiful thing when you can look them in the eyes and say, I am so sorry. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I care for you. Is there anything that I can do to help you in this time? Is there any way I can serve you? And I'll tell you, even though they know I'm miles apart from them on issues, it matters in that moment. And for some, I've even, because of that, had an opportunity to share my testimony, how I came to the Lord. I mean, those are home run days. Nate. And that's what we need to be about, loving our neighbors well.
Such an important message and something that we all have the opportunity to do every day, and that includes during election season. So once again, we hope that you will visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, click on our 2020 election page, and find resources on voting like the Nebraska Family Alliance Voter Guide, Prayer Guides, and the Biblical Principles for Political Engagement booklet. That is all the time that we have for this week. Special thanks again to our guest today, Karen Bowling. And to stay up to date on the latest news impacting family, freedom, and life, and to learn how you can partner with Nebraska Family Alliance to defend the unborn, religious liberty, and family values, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.